Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go. It's the True North Podcast hosted by a brother, a mentor, and a friend, Billy North. He could be in Seattle today. He could be in Oakland. Who knows? We'll find out. Here's truly Mark Mancini playing co-host in Los Angeles, where the talk is surrounding Shohei Ohtani and the Dodgers. But that's a story for another day, and we could talk about that in the segment. 347-205-9631. If you happen to miss it, 30 minutes goes by quick. Catch the archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to the podcast, powered now by Mancini Media. So as I lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic, it's a freeze to you, Bill. How are you? How can people get a hold of you? And man, oh man, you're bringing this legend back, and this legend is something. We will set the bar with him as I let you do the introductions.
Well, Mark, I'm talking about a guy named Dusty Baker who has been my friend since the day we met in 1969, 55 years. And he was the same person that I met at the beginning as he is to this day. And he is his daddy's son. And Mr. Baker was a man. And so is Dusty. And the thing I want to get into, I want to talk about to Baker about his thoughts on retirement. But Baker, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing fine. I'm in the car right now, sitting out in the pleasant rain because we need rain up here. And this is the first time I think it's kind of rained since I've been home. And we need it. Yeah, the rivers need it, the lakes need it, and the air is crisp and clear. So
yeah,
it was good. It was
what's the temperature down there?
It's about 56, 57. It's like it was 32 last week in the morning, but then it heats up to 55, 60. And so, I don't mind. I don't mind a little cold, a little rain. You just, mm-hmm. Put your Carhartt, your Filson clothes.
Yeah.
And you know me, Billy. That's how I like to dress. In the wintertime.
Man, we used to go to Filson every time he came to town. But we started at the Army-Navy store.
Yeah, that's where we started a long time ago. That used to be one of my favorite places to go shop. And then you can just sort of blend in. Nobody really pays attention to you. And that's how I'd just as soon have it.
Yeah. We're talking about a guy that managed 26 years, 2,183 wins, which is seventh all time, 57 playoff wins, which is fourth all time, 13 playoff appearances, which is fourth all time. And I was reading an article, and it said, you were quoted as saying, this isn't a goodbye. It's more of it's simply a see you later.
Right.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, your thoughts change, from time to time or from morning to morning, when you're waking up trying to pray for direction, you want the Lord to tell you, where to go and what to do. Because in my past, whenever I've made up my decisions without prayer, it ended up kind of screwed up, but whenever I went where I was directed, things end up great. So, right now, I'm retired from the field, from managing on the field, but I'm not necessarily retired, as a father, as a coach to my son, to my grandsons that are about to embark possibly to play some sports, and also to hopefully help some organization help out with their young or their young manager or just lend another ear. Because my dad told me years ago that when I was just going to go home and just disappear somewhere, and my dad said, hey son, the Lord wouldn't let you be in contact with all the great people that you've come into from the very, very beginning, for you to just take it and go run and hide with it. He says, it's not yours to possess, it's yours to, you know, to share. It just seems like sometimes, you know, some of the people aren't as readily, you know, accepting of what I'm about to share. But there are some people out there that are ears wide open.
Yeah. In a perfect world, what do you see yourself doing, Baker?
I don't know, Billy, to tell you the truth, you know. Kind of, you know, I've always had ambition to, you know, to do some TV work, to do some coaching, to do also kind of a semi-world Marcus Garvey type tour. Because, you know, the people I talk to that come from other countries, Africa, South America, Japan, mm-hmm. I mean, they all over the world, Australia, you know, they've been following me for a long, long time. You know, I get letters from France.
Isn't that great? Yeah.
Yeah, from Canada. And so, you know, I kind of like to, you know, see the world some, but also, you know, take time for myself and my family, because, you know, when you've been in the game as long as we've been in it and I've been in it, you know, there's a lot that you have gained, but there's a lot that you've lost, you know, because we've never been to, well, at least I've never been to, you know, to Europe, because you don't want to go to Europe in the winter. You know what I mean? I've been to South America. I've been to Japan. I mean, there's a lot of the world. I've been to Canada. There's a lot of the world still, you know, yet to see.
Yeah, and you're an adventurous anyway. You always want to do so. And some of the things that you do, I just say, man, we come a long way from that Motel 6.
Yeah, well, hey, man, what the thing about it is, you know, I always had stars in my eyes. And I remember I always had adventure in my eyes because my dad was an outdoorsman. And then, you know, when I was a kid, my mom, you know, when somebody comes by selling magazines, Billy, you remember those days they were selling magazines.
Yeah.
So my dad said I could get two magazines. So I picked Field and Stream because I would like to fish and hunt from the time I was born with my dad. And the second one that I picked was Sports Illustrated, and I had dreams of being on the cover someday, which I never made it. But my mom talked my dad into taking a subscription for $1.25. That was, I mean, a lot of money every month for National Geographic magazine. And my mom, you know, being an educator as she was, you know, she said, National Geographic, I can see the world without going to see the world. And when I went to Alaska a few years ago with my son Darren and Kenny, I don't know, maybe 6-7 years ago, and half of it I had seen already, you know, through the eyes of the photographer from National Geographic. So
I know you got happy when you were in Alaska, because Alaska's big as far as that outdoors and stuff.
Yeah.
It is real.
And really, it's bigger than anything I've ever seen. And I didn't hardly see it. Not a drop of it. Well, just a minute part of Alaska in the week or 10 days I was there. But, you know, I found it pretty cool that you see, you know, like we had deer crossings certain places here, or they have.
Yeah,
know,
on the highway.
Yeah, on the highway, you know, beware.
But it wasn't
animals,
deer crossings, they were moose crossings.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I had seen a moose in Montana on my buddy's place up there outside of Missoula at Hat Creek. And, you know, moose was in the water, you know, in the spring pond. So these are things that you see, you know, on TV.
Yeah, and when you go to Montana, you used to be with the Indians out there.
Yeah, well, I spent a lot of time with the Cheyenne, and they come to see me, you know, like every year. I just talked to my, you know, the chief of the Cheyenne, Dennis Limberhands, and his son, DJ. You know, they bring their whole families down. They were, you know, they were big baseball fans, big Dusty fans, and they talked, and they're looking for a team to support this year or ensuing years. And you know, they said, we're Dusty fans, so whoever you go to, or, you know, whoever I lend my time to, that's who they're going to pull for.
I know that's right.
Wow.
It's a baseball has been your life for so long. And, you know, the one thing I knew is when you come out of the game It's the kind of thing that you don't realize how dominant the game is inside of you. I still have dreams about spring training and that, you know, and you all that time.
Like last night, you know, last night I woke up this morning, I told my wife that I dreamt that I was talking to Tommy Aaron, Hank's brother, who was very, very instrumental in my life, especially when I was in the minor leagues, because Tommy was in the minor leagues and big leagues with me. And so, you know, you just think about all the people that influenced you, all the people that, you know, you know, there were some that even influenced you negatively, which you have to offset, you know, on how to be as well as how not to be. And, you know, but I've had far more explained to me and try to school me on how to be versus how not to be.
Yeah. Boy, those were
amazing.
The days. I had Billy Williams. And, you know, this kind of thing that those guys were, I mean, mentors, serious mentors. And they taught you not only about the game, but they also taught you about life in the game.
Well, there are a lot of people, Billy, that don't think we need mentors anymore. You know, like in my case, like, you know, my mentors are not only Hank Aaron or Bill Walsh, there's Al Attles. I mean, these guys schooled me a lot. And I remember, you know, as a matter of fact, it's raining and we have like a cage outside, but my son has like a little, it's not a pitch back. It's a thing on a, it's a ball on a string and you hit it. It's on a series of ropes things, and you hit it into this little net, you know, so you don't bang up the walls or break a mirror or whatever it is. And I was explaining to my son that Billy Williams was the one that told me to save something for the end. And now we're teaching a lot of kids how, you know, they're arm swingers or shoulder swingers, but Billy said, and then I just got a text today that asked me, you know, a lot of kids are having trouble with velocity and having trouble with late movement. And I said, velocity is about recognizing, you know, we don't spend enough time on vision. And the second thing is Billy Williams, when he said, you got to save something for the end in case the ball does move, in case it has a cutter or you didn't recognize or in case it sinks. And the text that I got from Dave, from a vision guy, I mean, that was right on time for me to you know, have my little lesson with my son. And he's like, yeah, Dad, you talk about Billy Williams all the time. And see, and he's a sweet swinging lefty. And, man, if he can hit like a little bit like Billy Williams, then he's going to be around a long time.
Yeah, get that swing. You know, I know he was my teammate. I used to watch him hit. And amazing. I saw him pull a ball over his shoulder.
But, Billy, you know what I could never do? Billy, what I could never do is then hit the spit with his bat, right?
Right.
Yeah.
All the time. He would do that right before he went in the box.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Billy, I was spitting, man. I'm missing that spit by a foot. You know what I mean?
Wow.
I never could get that down because I was like, dang, man, how do I do that, you know?
Unbelievable. Hey, Dusty, I wanted to ask you a question. My dad always used to tell me, he said, son, nobody cares what you know till they know how much you care. Jimmy Leland just went in the Hall of Fame, and I love his quotes. It's, you don't lead by lip service, you lead by example. But the other thing that caught my eye was, you miss a ball player, you lose him forever. You tell him the truth, you lose him for 24 hours. But here's the thing that I like about that, because you have been a common effect wherever you've gone, whether it's Chicago, Cincinnati, San Francisco, Washington, and coming over to Houston. What is the secret? Because I thought once the Angels hired Ron Washington, it didn't matter if Ohtani left, Trout gets traded or whatever. He seems to be in the same mold you are. Do you ever try to talk to managers across when you get into a ballpark to find out what you can pick their brain, or maybe they pick your brain on something? Because that would be the first key I would use as managing, is going and asking each and every one of them, how's the family, getting into the trenches with these guys. You know, football, they look at quarterbacks, they look at running backs and wide receivers. It's one on the offense and defensive line. I know that's a loaded question across the board, but yeah. I'll give you the floor.
Well, but you don't ask him anything that's going to be prying to try to give you an advantage to beat him.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And young managers talk to the veteran managers on the other side more than anybody. Like this year when I went to Kansas City, I was sitting there watching them hit early BP, and the manager came over, is asking me a bunch of questions with this and that, and see, I hope I didn't tell you too much because they beat the hell out of us. You know what I mean? And I was like, well, I'll tell you after the season. But you know, to mention young managers, you know, the guys that I used to talk to a lot, you know, were retired managers and present day managers as well. And Sparky Anderson, Sparky really likes me, and Sparky would come tell me things, and you know, he'd give me a call, you know, on the phone. And Jim Leland really helped me a lot, you know, with Barry Bonds, whom he had early in his career, and then I had him second. And also Jim Leland stressing to me about telling guys, you know, you might not be able to tell them everything, but don't lie to them. And because that, I mean, that gets yeah. around quicker than anything. And Jim Leland was the guy, you know, that would give me compliments. I remember one game I left a reliever in there, you know, longer than I should, but we had like 10 more games to go on the schedule. And he told me, he said, hey man, you've arrived as a manager where you didn't try to win every game, but because you want to win it, but you also had ensuing games coming up after that. You know what I mean? And if you go through your whole bullpen trying to win that game, well, then you're upside down the next six or seven games, and that's how it leads to a 7-8 game losing streak. And so I remember when Leland, you know, when Jim retired, we were in Colorado, and he invited me over to, you know, this bar is the last day of the season. And, you know, he was like, he was acting like Dean Martin or Frank Sinatra. He was singing, and he had a cigarette and a drink, and he could sing. But the only thing is, he wanted me to sing. And say, I can sing in the shower. I can sing by myself, but I don't have the guts to get up there and sing in front of people. And, you know, that was one of the most fun nights I ever had. And, you know, then he started scouting. You know, I feel very close to Jim Leland, and I called him, and you know, to congratulate him. You know, that's a tough call. I mean, that's a tough call. They have some guys in there that are deserving. You know, Cito Gaston deserves to be in. Lou Piniella, Davey Johnson, my teammate. I mean, you know, I'm hoping that they, you know, can some kind of way change the voting because, you know, some of these guys, if they do get in, you know, they may not be able to enjoy the fruits of their work because, you know, we're all getting old. I mean, you know, tomorrow's not promised to anybody. And so I just hope that, you know, the guys that deserve to get in, that they get to at least get in while they're still alive.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I feel that way about Buck O'Neill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they put him in after.
Yeah, and Ron Zano, there have been a bunch of them, you know what I
yeah,
mean?
Yeah, yeah, and Ronnie, he should have been in there earlier.
Yeah, and seeing Ron was cool with me, man. I mean, I got a little upside down with a lot of people in Chicago because the last couple of years were tough years on the staff. But I tell you, one of the most positive guys
ever
was, and I enjoyed talking to him every day was Ron Santo. I mean, yeah. I really enjoyed talking to him.
Yeah, he's from here. He went to my rival high school.
Oh, yeah? He's from the Northwest?
Yeah, he's from, he went to Franklin High School. He's from Seattle. Yeah.
Did he play football, Billy? Because he's built like a football player.
Yeah, Ron Santo played everything.
He looks like it. I mean, this guy was
just a wonderful person. And, you know, having him as a teammate, he used to call me homie. All the
time.
Yeah. Just a wonderful person. Like you said, one of those people that you meet in the game that you always remember. You know, there are so many good people and stuff. There were some bad ones too.
Yeah, but Billy, you know, hey, you introduced me to Joe Pepitone when we were in Chicago.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Know, you know, when Pippen came to the Cubs and then to the Braves while I was there. And I remember he used to take me with him the same way that he used to take you with him in Chicago. And then one day he said, one day it was like in the middle of the season, he said, I'm out of here. And
yeah.
I'm like, God, like, no, Pepe, you ain't, come on, man, please don't. And next thing I know, next day, I didn't see Pepe again for about 30 years, you know?
Yeah. He used to take me down in Little Italy in New York.
Wow.
Show me where this guy got killed and this happened here. He was a good dude. He was a good friend of mine, too.
You ain't lying, man. He was great. And then about, and you know, Billy, we were always the youngest on every team we played on.
Huh? Yeah.
And so my nickname was the Kid. And yours is probably Rook or Kid or something like that. They never hardly call you by your name, you know.
No.
And so what was yours, Billy? Spud?
Well, Jenkins called me Spud all the time.
Yeah, I'm telling you, everybody had a nickname. And so it was about 30 years from the time I had seen Pepe, and I've forgotten that they had an old-timers game in St. Louis. So I go out there to see if I recognize anybody. You know, I knew a lot of the guys, and somebody's calling me Kid. Somebody goes, Kid, Kid. And I said, man, ain't nobody called me Kid in 30 years. So, and he says, Kid, you hear me calling you? And I turn around, it's Pepe. He goes, you don't know your name. I said, man, ain't nobody called me Kid in 30 years. He goes, I don't care how old you are. Your name is the Kid. I said, okay, man. So I managed to the Kid.
Hey, man. Yeah.
Oh, my
God.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Mark. Go ahead.
I was going to ask him, any memorable games in Pittsburgh, Dusty, whether it was managing or playing?
Oh, heck yeah. Man, we had some battles in Pittsburgh. I mean, we had some battles on the Braves that they usually won. You know, we would have went out
they
to Stargell's house. You know, we'd have went out to Stargell's house the night before, Gene Kline's or Dave Cash or Rennie Stennett. Doc Ellis would take us out. But they would beat us like 15-12. And I remember there was a memorable game that we had in Atlanta when I was with the Braves first. There's a couple of memorable games. And so we had just gotten Denny McClain from Detroit, I think, or from somewhere.
Yeah.
He was released. And then Denny McClain, you know, like he was kind of bragging about how he was going to shut the Pirates out. Man, I think they got like 10 runs in the first inning and ran me and Ralph Gar into each other. And Manny Sanchez ran us into each other in the outfield. And, you know, Denny didn't stick around too long. And then there was a game when I was with the Dodgers where you know, we had a bench clearing fight with Perez. He hit me in the hand. And so I saw Reggie Smith go in and in the tunnel, and then Pasquale shot by me and went in the tunnel on his side, grabbed the bat, and we were like jammed up, and the fans didn't know what was going on. We were all jammed up underneath, and man, they had like they looked like the Pittsburgh Steelers compared to us. You know, they had like Stargell, they had Parker, they had Jim Bibby, they had Milner, they had Bob Robinson. Oh. I'm like, man, we're going to get killed. You know, we had David Lewis and Bill Russell and stuff. And I was like, man, we are about to get killed. Fortunately for us, Stargell, you know, kind of diffused things, but hey, there was no room in there. And we had some battles. They came.
Was Lasorda in an Italian restaurant in Pittsburgh? Was he involved in it too, Tommy?
I don't know, man. Tommy was
Tommy
the
to be involved
in restaurant in the country. You know what I mean? And
Tommy
fed us.
Yeah.
That's where I got it from, feeding my players from Tommy Lasorda. You know, the only joint thing is Tommy didn't pay. See, I had to pay.
He had the
contacts.
Hey,
man, we ate good. We ate good. I'll tell you that. We ate good. I mean, we ate great.
Tommy Lasagna.
Yeah,
yeah, Baker, I want to ask you about Darren
mm-hmm.
and how he's doing and what is his prospects?
Well, he's doing good. I mean, he's getting stronger. He's home. I mean, this guy, I don't have to.
Yeah, he filled out, didn't he?
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, Baker's fell out late. Yeah, that's why I was 25th round draft choice. There are some guys that are man child at 16 years old, but I didn't really get my strength till 26, 27 years old. And my dad was the same way, and Darren the same way. And, you know, he gets up every morning, goes to work out, and you don't have to prod him to say, hey, man, go work out. I mean, I'm very proud of him, the fact that he's, you know, how dedicated he is. And, you know, he knows how to play the game. He was in AAA last year in his second full year. I'm just trying to convince him to, you know, not necessarily, you got to listen to your coaches, but, you know, with the launch angle and all that stuff, some of the kids aren't ready for that. And I remember Michael Brantley telling him, you know, he said he had a great session with Michael Brantley. They were just talking, and Michael Brantley said it's important that you learn how to hit before you start trying to launch the ball. And I remember when Michael Brantley first came up, you know, he couldn't pull the ball. And, you know, he was an opposite field hitter, the same way my son is. And then, you know, as a instructor or a teacher, I can teach you to pull the ball, but it's hard for me to teach you to go the other way. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I mean, for the guys, and especially like the left-handers, I mean, they can do it naturally. Like Reggie Smith was an opposite field hitter. George Brett was an opposite field hitter when they first came up. Darrell Evans, believe it or not, he couldn't pull the ball, you know, to the right of second base. And then he ended up learning to pull it and hit home runs, and he couldn't hit the ball the other way. I mean, this is a game that you constantly adjust or you never stop learning.
Yeah, I'll tell you a quick story. When I went to college over there in Ellensburg, the wind was coming down from the northwest, and you hit that ball to left field, I don't care how hard you hit it, it was going to hold up.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when I learned to go to right field.
Wow.
And, I hit 476 my junior year in college.
That's right.
The first year, we didn't have a fence, and I'd be crossing home plate by the time they got the ball.
Well, Billy, did you play with Willie? Were you on the same team with Willie, or were you after Willie?
McCovey?
No, Willie Mays.
No, I was after Mays.
Yeah, I know you played with McCovey, because Willie Mays, they say that's what taught him to hit the ball the other way with power was Candlestick Park. Because you remember how Candlestick Park was, Billy. I mean, you could pull that ball, Candlestick Park, and it looked like a home run. The shortstop would catch it. You know what I mean?
She did. You could also hit the ball to left field and the center fielder
catch it. You're right. I'm telling you.
Hey, we're down. Yeah. You know what? We're down to a minute and a half. And Dusty, I got to tell you a story real quick. I was in the restaurant the other day, and I wanted a toothpick, you know, and I said, do you have one of those Dusty Baker toothpicks? Did you have a sponsor or something? Because you trademarked that thing across Major League Baseball. I haven't seen any. How many did you go through the whole year?
I don't know. You know, I didn't have a sponsor. Actually, I bought it at Whole Foods, their tea tree oil toothpick. And so I contact the plantation that's the tea tree oil company. They come in a box.
Yeah.
And actually my agent contacted them to see about getting an endorsement, and they told me they didn't need me as an endorsee because they were going to sell to people anyway.
Slap that on a T-shirt, Dusty Baker toothpicks.
I just kept on using the toothpick, you know what I mean? Anyway.
Yeah. Wow, what a show. We got to do this again with you. It's such a pleasure to have you in here. You're just a calm and effect. And if you ever come out with a book, boy, oh, boy, that would be it. On the Road Again with Dusty Baker and Transforming Cities and bringing them to respectability across the board. It's unbelievable. Billy, as we wrap this up, we got to get them back again. I know you've had a lot of great guys on this show, and we'll keep it going. And 2024 is going to be awesome.
If anybody we can get back again at DM, he's got. We have even scratched the surface of some of the stuff that he He knows about the game. And
he'll open the door for you. You can try out again for the Houston Astros. I'll limber up my arm at 62, and I think maybe I can give it a shot, too. We'll look like a couple of Sid Finches.
Yeah, I got you, brother.
All right. Thank you so much, Baker. As we wrap this up,
thank you very much for listening. That was Dusty Baker. What a great manager, and boy, I can't wait to see him transform some other team across this Major League Baseball. Billy Norton, right, let everybody know how they can get a hold of you as we wrap this.
I'll see you, Billy.
All right, I'll talk to you. Yeah.
All right, later.
All right.
Thank you.
You can reach me at BillNorte15@gmail.com. And also, don't forget the North Legacy Project, and you can look it up online. And if you could donate, we're trying to help these kids and give them a future, because there's so many wonderful kids out there that need some help. Thank you so much.
I love you, brother. I can't wait to do it. We'll do it again next week, same time, same channel across the boards. Till then, have a blessed one. Catch this archive version of Dusty Baker, Bill North, and myself, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Have a great one, guys.
Yeah, God bless you.